the garden and we go out, we get all the dead things out of the garden, out of the flower bed. Now, we don't garden like tomatoes and corn. I love that. We don't have time. But she puts flowers. And so she goes out and gets all those dead leaves and dead branches and clips off the dead things from the flowers, throws them away. That was last season. That was yesterday. And she puts out new mulch and she plants flowers and they start to bloom and they're beautiful. It's new. It's hope. I used to be the biggest baseball geek of all time. I loved watching baseball. I would study all the baseball and the cards and all these things. And spring also meant for me Detroit Tigers, but it also meant, and we're Sal, New York Yankees. It also meant hope. If your team was a loser last season or their best player got hurt and it just didn't go the way you planned, but when that new spring come and they put those fresh lines out on the field, oh, my grandpa would take me. We'd go out early. You could smell those hot dogs. And you could see those lines being painted. And you could hear the pop off those bats at warm-ups. It was a new hope. It was a new hope. It was a hope that maybe this year is going to be better. That this year can be better. I'm here to tell you somebody needs to get a hold of this word. This year can be better. This season can be better. This is the greatest season of your life. Old timers, I just found this out. Well, I knew about it from when I was a kid, but my parents were preachers, so we didn't do any of this kind of stuff. There's something called spring cleaning. Boy, my dad needs a spring cleaning at his house. Not because it's dirty. He just don't like throwing nothing away. That's the problem. But you know what? He don't throw no people away neither. A few might leave, but he don't throw them off the boat. But there was something called spring cleaning. I found out that spring cleaning, they can make $20 an hour. You can make $20 an hour spring cleaning, apparently. That's good money. And but what they do, I said, well, why do they make so much money spring cleaning? It's hard work because they take all the old dead stuff, the dirt, the dust, the debris. They wash the walls. They take every what's called a whatnot in the country, if you know what I'm talking about. That's these little figurines and statues. They take everyone off and clean each one of them in detail. They clean under crevices and cracks, and they move every piece of furniture. They clean out every bit of junk, every bit of dirt, every bit of the past. We just clean it out and start over again. That's what spring cleaning is. Sometimes we all need a little spring cleaning. We need some thoughts taken out of our head. We need some junk taken out of our life. We need some old past ways washed new. And we need to start all over. Ministries need spring cleaning. Families need spring cleaning. Preachers need spring cleaning. Old thoughts, past problems, past jealousies, past hurts. We got to wash them aside and move forward to a new season because it's springtime in the mountains. It's springtime in Lost Creek. It's springtime in your homes. It's springtime in the schools. And it's time we do a little spring cleaning. I'm ready. I'm ready for better. Because the cool thing about spring is nobody remembers those dead leaves anymore. They're just going picking up the new fruit, the new fruit, the new fruit. Because there's plenty of new fruit. There's always new fruit. Nobody worries about the leaves of fall and the hazy shade of winter when the springtime comes. Because that wind, you know what's associated with the wind in the Bible? The Spirit. And you know what? Sometimes that wind just got to blow some stuff out. Blow some stuff loose. We got some stuff that needs blown loose in our life. The wind will blow everything that's shakable if we let it out of our life. And only the unshakable shall remain. Lord, you have permission to blow through my life. And everything that is not of you, everything that is not on the rock, every unshakable thing shall be moved, moved, and moved. That's why I ain't worried. We all get worried, but that's old stinking thinking. That's last winter's problem. That's last season's problem. But that wind of the Spirit says, move. It says, son, there's fruit out on the vine. It's springtime. What are you doing worried about dead leaves when there's fruit on the vine? I'm ready for more purpose. I'm ready for more anointing. I'm ready for more positivity. I'm ready for more love. I'm ready for more salvations. I'm ready for more healings. I'm ready for less headaches, belly aches, and whining, and more of God in my life. I don't know about you. Let the winds of winter howl. I'm going to spring. Because you know what? Put your hand on your heart. I told you in the old days, a lot of them didn't make it through winter. Is your heart beating? We made it through, and it's springtime. A couple scripture. I want to look, interestingly enough, where Dad looked last week somewhat, not the whole thing. In Gideon, in Judges 6, I want to read just a little bit of scripture. This is actually before what Dad read. This is before the famous verses and what Gideon's known for, when God took a huge army and said, no, them people ain't about it. I need to whittle it down to some people about it. I need some dogs. I need some dogs that lap. I need some dogs that'll go to war. I don't need no fair weather friend that's woo 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 1 minute and yay yay yay. I need some dogs that'll fight. I want a dog that'll hunt. So but this is earlier when God first encountered Gideon. And it said this, listen to this. This is Judges 6. So the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. Say 7 years. That's a long winter. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from the Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, carrying in the land and destroying, camping in the land and destroying crops as far away as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, goat, cattle, donkeys. These enemy hordes coming with their livestock and tents were as thick as locusts. They arrived on droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. When they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord of God of Israel says. I brought you out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and I gave you the land. I told you I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the God of your ancestors, to whose land you now live. But you have not listened to me. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat in the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord, pre-incarnate Christ, appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you, mighty hero. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with me, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Last verse. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israelites from the Midianites. I am sending you. The people had been in a 7-year winter where this group of people, this foreign body, was stripping them naked of everything they had. That is a long winter. Even when they would put out plants or crops to grow to eat, they would try to do something beneficial, it would be taken away from them. Have you ever done that in your life? You ever thought, every time I try to do something good, it seems like nothing comes of it. I plant all these seeds and ain't no fruit I'm eating. Because sometimes the enemy picks us clean. And so 7 years, and so this cat named Gideon was doing good things in hiding. He was down in the middle of a wine press, threshing wheat, trying to put away wheat in hiding, in secret like wintertime. Doing good things that nobody else was seeing. You ever been that way? You ever said, I feel like I'm doing all this stuff and I ain't getting no credit. The sun ain't shining on me. I ain't eating what I want to eat. I'm sorry about saying ain't. Mom used to ground me for that. Grow up with an English teacher. It's tough. So some of y'all say, I grew up on the street. I grew up with an English teacher. I know what tough is. Tough times, and he was in a winter season doing everything he could in hiding. But understand this, God was doing a work in him when he didn't know it. You see, in that winter time when those animals are hibernating, did you know there's a seed placed in them? And they just trying to get through. But inside them, unbeknownst, there's a seed growing. And some of our plants that are, what do you call the ones that come back every year? Annuals. Perennials. I'm confused, whatever they are. I've just bragged on you for being a green thumb gardener and you didn't come. Under the dirt, under that snow, there's a seed working. We don't see it. We see death, cold, bitter, long, fruitless. But under that dirt, where nobody's watching, God is at work. God is at work. Those of you who feel like you've been threshing wheat in the bottom of a hole, God is working. God is working. And when you transition, you see, you got a part to play in this. You see, it's spring, but God told Gideon, you walk into your spring. See, I thought of this. We were just talking, I think this morning or last night. You know, if God can do what God wants, why did God, when he took the people, children of Israel, why didn't he just let them overthrow Pharaoh and take over Egypt? That seemed like an easier plan. Why did he make them move to a different location? As long as they stayed in Egypt, they're going to think like a slave. They had to move into a new place. God will call you out of your winter. But we got to be willing to walk into our spring. We got to be willing to move into a new place and to walk into our spring. You see, what happens is all those little baby mamas, all those little rabbits and birds and all that stuff, those seeds have been working, and when springtime comes, they start feeling some contractions, some shaking. And I guess I just probably did it wrong. I'm not a woman. I don't know what they feel like. Do they do that? I don't know. I probably did that wrong. Lord, forgive me. I just insulted every woman in here. I'll sure call out a devil, but don't let me insult mamas, especially mine. But you will start feeling as a woman my understanding of the event, a contraction. You'll start feeling something different. I don't even know what it feels like, but I'm assuming, is it something deep inside? Something wants to move. Something wants to move. But what do you got to do? You got to push. You got to push. You got to push in the spring and push that baby out. You got to push that baby out. There's a seed of promise in you, of destiny. But if you stay in your winter time, you'll never give birth. You got to move in the spring and push that baby out. You got to push. That's how you go from surviving to thriving. You see, Gideon was just trying to survive. Sometimes we go through a winter season, we're just trying to survive. It's time to stop surviving and time to start thriving. We got a new destiny, a new place to walk. We're walking into spring. It's time to thrive. Survivors, they just try to get through. But thrivers, they live in destiny and purpose. That's why when I ask somebody, how you doing? They say, I'm all right. I know they're surviving, not thriving. We can't talk that way. That means we're not thriving. Holy Spirit, Jesus did too much for me on that cross to survive. He didn't die on that cross so I could survive. He didn't send back His Holy Spirit to fill me with His Pentecostal fire just so I could survive. This ministry is ready to thrive and take back the community. Jesus made it all possible. Jesus made spring possible. I mean a spiritual spring. What He did on that cross made it possible for me to walk from winter into spring, into new life. New life. Not just life, but life more abundantly. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Romans 6:4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we, so we should also walk in the newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Winter is over because Jesus defeated winter on the cross. We don't have to live in winter, and we shouldn't live in winter. And if you're in winter today, God is calling you into a new season called springtime. And springtime is where life happens. And it just gets, and it grows, you know, it grows. Spring doesn't start out, you don't just wake up one morning and it snows one morning, and the next morning everything's bloomed and every flower's out. No, but you'll start seeing some buds develop. Sometimes you can get patient if the flowers don't bloom quick enough. But you got to appreciate the buds. You got to appreciate the little grass starting to come up. You got to appreciate every time the birds get a little louder. Oh, and I've not heard the frogs. I just want to get ready to say. I haven't heard the frogs yet, have we? They're starting. I told you I've got a pond by my house, and there's like a bazillion frogs. But you know what? That's the prettiest music I know at night. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You love frog music? Kirby, sing for me. It's not easy being green. No. Jesus. Jesus died and rose not just to give us a life insurance, but to give us a new life right here, right now. The best life. Your best life should start today. It's up to us to walk into that spring. Or we can try to stay back in winter. And we've got a basement. I know we're talking about our place. I don't know why. But used to, I spent a lot of time in the basement, and there's no windows. And I've discovered I feel better when I sit up to the next floor with those windows, when I can see out. And sometimes spiritually, we can stay in the basement. We can stay in the wine press. When God is trying to call us up into a new season of our life. Do you know Jesus was the way, the truth, and life begets life. Life produces life. Dead birds don't make baby birds. Live birds do. Alive people produce live fruit. If death comes out of your mouth, you're not living right now. Death produces death. Hate produces hate. Hurt produces hurt. Life produces life. If your mouth uplifts people, talks positive about people, preaches Jesus into people, preaches love into people, then you are alive and well. But if you're tearing people down, gossiping, complaining, and always have a critical spirit about you, then it's time for you to leave winter behind and step into spring, to step into life. Because one of my heroes, Martin Luther King Jr., said hate is too heavy a burden to carry. And that's the problem when you speak death, is you're dying on the inside of yourself. I always heard it's like having a rat problem and drinking rat, me having a rat problem and going to the store and get rat poison. I drink it. That'll kill them rats. No, it'll kill you. There was another time, and we're getting there real quickly. There was another time in the Bible when the world got to be a bad place. It was a winter time. In the book of Genesis, the world had become a wicked place. And God called a man named Noah to build a boat. And Noah said, "What's a boat?" And God told him what a boat was and said, "It's going to rain." Noah said, "What's rain?" God says, "Well, I'm going to pour water out of the sky, and you better build a boat." And so him and his family built a boat. A man and his family responsible for carrying on the human race. A man and his family. To be obedient, to build a boat. They criticized him. They made fun of him. They didn't like what he was doing. They said he's a nut. But he kept building. See, if he had stopped to go address those people, the boat wouldn't have got built. He didn't have time to worry about that. He had a boat to build. I don't have a time to worry about the yabos, the hyenas. I got a boat to build, and there's a community that has to be saved. I care not, I promise you. I'm not scared. I'm not worried. I'm building a boat, and we're going to save this community in the name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua. So we built a boat, and it rained. It rained. Put all the animals on the boat. Thank God, Keith, there were some deer on that boat. Some cattle. I like bison, elk. There's chickens. Now, some of you going out and start leaving and say, "Oh, he's talking food. I'm hungry." Yes. Amen. But he was on that boat. Once he built the boat, he was on that boat over a year. That's a winter. And you talking about greenhouse gas effect. You on a boat with all those animals for a year. They didn't have air freshener back then. I'm sorry, Mom. It's true. And when the water finally receded, I mean, you know, honestly, unless it was just Holy Spirit, they're not thriving on that boat. They're surviving on a boat. Just getting through the storm. There were no beautiful sceneries. There were no moonlit walks. There was probably not very much space at all to take care of those animals and take care of themselves and just trying to get by till the water receded. It started to recede, but finally, over a year later, they were able to leave the boat. And God gave Noah a blessing, gave him a new covenant, the second of the God's major covenants, but he blessed them and he gave them a covenant. But he gave them instructions as he got off this boat. They were literally leaving their winter into spring, a new life. All the old dead things that were here before were gone. Think about that. There were people that they had were probably friendly, maybe, I don't know, sort of friendly with, but they weren't on the boat. And now they're gone. Only one family is left on this planet. And they walk off the boat. That's a challenge to walk into that kind of springtime. It's kind of like walking out here sometimes on a Saturday night where these law enforcement go. Some of these places that are really rough, man. Can you imagine walking out into this thing? New life. And God gives them instructions. Here's the instructions. Be fruitful and multiply. You've heard that. Understand something. God loved them too much to give them those instructions in that wicked place they were before. God loved them too much to let them multiply or be fruitful in winter. God loves you too. You're not going to be fruitful in a dark place. God loves you too much. He loves you too much. So you could stay in winter, but you're not going to be fruitful and you're not going to multiply. And get this. He even loved them too much. They didn't have room on the boat to be fruitful and multiply. There was no room to multiply. I could say some stuff on that. I'm not going to. There was no room to be fruitful and multiply on that boat. But when they stepped into the newness of spring, God said, now you're here. Be fruitful. Produce fruit. You know what fruit is for a plant? For us, it's food. But you know what it is for a plant? It's offspring. That's their babies. That's how they reproduce. The apple falls, the seeds go in the ground, more apple trees pop up. Reproduce. We're called as creatures of the light to reproduce other creatures of the light. To make babies. You are hereby given permission to make babies in this house. Spiritual babies. Life reproduces life. Sheep beget sheep. Shepherds beget shepherds. Life begets life. Christians beget Christians. Hateful people produce hateful people. Jealous people produce jealous people. Depressed people produce depressed people. But living, loving, live people produce living, loving, live people. And that's who ought to be in your circle. If not, Jack, you better move into spring. Because you will never be fruitful and multiply in that place. God loves you too much. He said in Genesis 8:22, now, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. And as a sign of his covenant, God gave a rainbow. God gave a rainbow as a sign of hope. It's been a long winter. It's been a hazy. This has been the craziest winter of my life between the politics and the COVID and all this other crazy stuff. It's crazy out there. But you know what? To me, that's just dead leaves. that's last year's problem. I'm walking into spring, Jack. It's a new season. It's a new life. We are called. You know what I believe that God gave me this word, why he gave me this revelation? Because I believe he's trying to show us as a group of body. I'm just one of you. To show us a new rainbow. That's hope. No matter how dark it's been for you lately, there's hope. And that we are going to walk into a new season. And he's calling you to be fruitful, to produce fruit. Fruit that people, that Josh, that hungry people need to take a bite of. Oh, like a big old fresh juicy grape, man. We love those grapes. Whatever your fruit of choice is, that you produce fruit and you multiply. God has a great life for you. He has a great life for you. He doesn't want you just to get by. You got to get rid of winter. And you got to step into spring. God is calling you out of the boat, out of the wine press, and out of the winter to walk into your new spring. And the last thing I want to say about that, the Holy Spirit has called me to say about that, is this. There's another level to this message that, you know, some of you need to, we all need to go from winter to spring. We all need a freshness. But some of us in the room, if we're honest, you know, maybe we feel like we've kind of hit spring, but we're still seasonal. We're still seasonal. And what I mean by seasonal is this, that we still go up and down with the seasons, right? You've walked into spring before, but it's up, it's down. And our reactions, our responses depend on our circumstances. So we become like a thermometer. Like the season affects us. When things are good, it's springtime. When it snows, it's wintertime. And we can get that way, right? But understand this, that Jesus not only saved us with the cross, but he sent his Holy Spirit to empower us so that we should not be bound by seasons. And I'm going to give you this scripture. This is next level. You can write this. We've left 101. Now we're at class 404. We're in a senior level class here, okay? This is the real. I mean, there's some people in this room, we got to get from winter to spring. We all need to get there. But I'm telling you, I'm challenging you. This is next level word right here. This is a next level word. This is an advanced word. This is an advanced word. Mark 11, 12 through 15. Listen to this. The next morning as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. You know what? Jesus is still hungry. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? He's hungry. Jesus was hungry. And he noticed a fig tree in a full leaf. It was in full leaf. It looked the part a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to this tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard him say it. Now, I'm not going to read it, but later on they came back by the tree and the tree was dead. And they're like, whoa, when he speaks, trees die. But here, understand this. Listen to this. Here's the point. It is your God. Listen to this point. The tree was not in season to bear fruit. By natural law, the tree was doing what it was created to do. It had not yet reached the season to bear fruit. So in other words, the circumstances were bad. It was maybe not totally winter because the leaves were starting to come out, but it wasn't yet ripe season. So why did Jesus have a problem with a tree that did what it's supposed to do? Because here's the deal. When you are in the presence of Jesus, you are no longer bound by the seasons. We are empowered to reproduce fruit in the winter, the fall, the summer, and the spring. And that is the next level, my friend. When you walk into spring and you just stay there, you just stay there and you say, let it snow, let it rain, let the winds come. I'm dropping fire and I'm dropping bombs, no matter what the season. That's the next level. So it's walking into spring, but Jesus has empowered us that we can stay there. And the cool thing when you stay there is, because I hate to tell you this, you heard the covenant of Noah. There's always going to be winter and summer and heat and night and day and night and night. It rains on the just and the unjust. There's always going to be storms on this life. But the question is, do we let the storms affect our ability to bear fruit? Or do we bloom in season and out of season? That's the next level. That's like Holy Spirit lithium. If anybody's ever had a bipolar disorder, they give you something called lithium sometimes, and it's to stabilize your mood. We got bipolar Christians, and I'm not making fun of mental health issues. I'm saying spiritually we're up, we're down. We're up, we're down. We're up, we're down. I'm up, on fire, I'm down. I love the pastor, I hate the pastor. I love God, I'm mad at God. I love, and it's because of real problems we go through. But Jesus has called us to bear fruit, even in the tough times. And when we get to that level, I promise you, your world will change. I promise you, you'll bear fruit. I promise you. I promise you. If you can stay there, if you can be consistent, we will bear fruit. We will win this battle. The world looks for our inconsistency. Listen, the world's watching us. The world's watching you. They watch preachers. I know they watch preachers, but they don't really care about that. You know, they don't really listen to a lot of what I say. They don't really listen to what he says. Maybe you do, I hope. But out in the streets, they look at you. That's their Bible. They look at you. And we got to be, when they're hungry, we better have some fruit on our tree. We better have some fruit, boo. You better have some fruit on your tree, buddy. There's a whole school of young men that's looking to you. That are going to make their determination on their future, possibly some of these people, based on what Boo Sensabaugh shows them. That's why God put you there. He didn't put you there because you could play football. Anybody can play football. He put you there because you're a man of God called to bear fruit in that school. You did play football pretty good. Wish I had time to tell the Thomas and Julius Jones story. I don't. God's called all of you all. You're not here by accident. I told you, there's a graph of human history. And there's points all in that graph. If anybody know what graphs are? This point today, Mother's Day 2021, there's a point. And all of our lines, everybody in this room is intersecting on this point right now. We all have this connection, and God ordained this moment from before history was written, that we're all going to be intersected at this room right now together. Think about that. Think about all the events that had to happen for each of us in this room to make it here to this one point. Think about how much God cares. People from Mountain City, Northeast Correctional. People from the internet. People from Minnesota, from Bristol, from I don't know what all places are represented here today. People who could have been other places. People who might have, the last minute, decided to come. People that thought about, whatever happened, things had to happen for all of us to be here together. But it's an important point because God is saying, the other side of this point is springtime. And this ministry is focused on springtime. I'll tell every devil, I don't care about winter. We're walking in the spring. Because that's the gospel. They put Jesus was a seed, was planted in the dirt, and life came out, not death. I always think about what would Jesus do, that famous book. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Did he sit around a campfire? And what did he say around campfires? Did he build people up? Today's our day. It's springtime. And for you mamas, mamas are all about springtime. We love our moms. I love you. But God is calling us into something greater. As great as the past has been, I've got so many memories. Josh and I talked about that one time back. I got, you know, there are certain areas in your life that you kind of just build up as like great moments. And we can be guilty of that. But those were leaves blowing in the wind. Today there's new buds on the vine. And I can't wait to see all the hungry people going to eat the fruit from these trees. And no matter what your past winters look like, maybe you were a tree that didn't produce too good in the past. God says that this season's going to be different. This season's going to be different. So I thank you for being patient with me. I do want to again say that it's still not too bad time. We're done. We're going to pray here in a second. I do want to remind you that we are going to do the things for the mothers. So if people are praying for a minute, don't get up and leave unless you want me to get your prize. We'll bring the kids over in just a minute and we'll do that, okay? But I really believe that God wants to give you the opportunity to step into your spring. We talked about another thing we were talking about, Val and I, is why God calls people to do things like altar calls. Like why? Because I've heard people say, you can just sit in your seat and God can touch you. Yes, yes, yes. But that's what really got us to thinking, why did God make a move out of Egypt? He needed them to do something to remind them that they were changing their position. You see, God sometimes calls us. When he called the man to go, when he called the man on the mat to get up, there was something about it. God could have just healed him and walked away, and the man could have got up later. But God needed him to respond, because it would mean something to that guy. See, sometimes I need to respond because it means something to me. I don't respond for you. I respond for me. And so that's why God calls us to do crazy things like bring people to altars. And some people say, well, you know, I've been to the altar 10 times. I don't know, but if you're feeling a contraction today, it's time to push. It's time to move. It's time to move. If this spirit, if this word has gotten your spirit and you're starting to feel something shaking inside, that maybe there's more coming, maybe there's more, then today I'm going to ask you to push a little bit and move from where you're sitting. Move from your winter. Move from last season. Move from the hazy shade of winter into a new season of life, of growth, of fruit, of building up, of salvations, of healings, of purpose, of destiny, of life, of your family, of your ministry, of your community, to take back this community, to overturn the realm of the devil, to overturn drugs and depression and all the things that grip this city, and violence and all the bad things. Because we got a kingdom to maintain. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head. And I want to ask you this question. How many feels the contraction deep inside you? If you're a man, you say, what's a contraction? You feel something stirring inside you. If you're a woman, you know what. A lot of you will know what one feels like. If you feel a spiritual contraction right now inside you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and say, I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for more. Put them high. Put them high. And say, I'm ready to step into a new season. I don't want any more last season. Last season's like a dead leaf that needs raked out of my yard and carried off. I'm ready for a new season. Every head still bowed. If you're holding your hand up, nobody's looking at you. I want you to stand right now. I just want you to stand where you are. If nobody's looking, I'm going to pray over you. If you got your hand up, stand. If you got your hand up, stand. If you got your hand up, stand. Hallelujah. Oh, I think there's some more people that need a springtime. Do you want to bear more fruit? If you want to bear more fruit, then you need to be on your feet right now. If you want more life, you need to be on your feet right now. I'm going to count to three. And here's what I want you to do. There's plenty of social distance and space. Don't even worry about it. I want you just to walk up to this altar, walk into spring. And I want you just to either stand or kneel, either your choice. And I want you to have a moment with your God right now and say, God, you have permission to blow the winds through my life. And I want new this year. There's people coming already. One, two, just come on. Three. Just if you're standing, just come on up front. Just come on up front if you're standing. If you're standing, just find your space right here. There's plenty of room. It means a lot when you come to an altar. It means a lot. It means a lot. Oh, and those that stood that didn't come up, you might be social distance. That's okay. I'll pray for you right here. Just lift your hand up right where you are. Just lift your hand up right where you are. God's touching you. God's doing new things in you. God's doing new things in you. This is a new season for you. God's changing things. God's changing things. We're not looking back. I'm tired of raking leaves.